Karen Gore, here.
Kathy Hagan, present.
Dennis Scott, present.
And Ken Mullix, the mayor, is here. I will at this time ask you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance and ask our Jim Fleming to lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
Are there any added agenda items?
Two. One is the Johnson Building over the Parks Department built partly on the county road right away, and so the county and the Parks District took an agreement to let them stay there. And so they wanted our signature on it. So that would be a document for that.
We will move that to...
And the second point is allow the rights to go out for a bid to get quotes for a microphone system that will work, that will make everyone happy.
11B. Our next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Any comments, council? Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I do state a possible conflict of interest to that with the discarded bill.
Let the record reflect such. It's been moved. Is there a second?
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I will... all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved. This time we will have public comment. I believe that and what I would like to say, if we have some forms back there for anybody that wants to sign up. So this is your opportunity to sign up to speak on any of the issues before council this evening. And I will open it to public comment. Hearing none, I shall move on to item number 7.
Mr. Mayor, you have a public comment later.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I just speak from here?
Why don't you come up and just right up here and push the red button.
Okay.
Give your name and address, please.
Yeah, my name is Kay Nelson, and I live at 51618 Ash Road. And I'm here tonight to thank the city and all of you folks for supporting us on our Veterans Day parade and event. Lapine now is on their way to having a Veterans Day parade every year. I'm working on next year's already, and I would like to thank you for your financial support and your support. It's we honored World War II veterans this year. We had 12. We had 7 of them was grand marshals in our parade. Next year, we're at this point thinking we're going to honor, because we feel it's time that our Vietnam veterans are thanked for their service. So hopefully we can get that off of the ground. But I did want to thank you all for supporting us.
Thank you very much, Kay.
And your mayor, you know, is a veteran. He was in the Air Force, and he was kind enough to speak at our event, and we thank him for that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other comments? Hearing none, I will move on to item 7 is Medical Marijuana Tax Discussion, Ordinance Number 2014-07. And
you have your opening comments?
Oh, yes. Thank you. At this point in time, I would like to make some comments regarding this. It's unfortunate that the city must re-examine an ordinance duly adopted and enforceable pursuant to the city's home rule authority. Yet prudent and responsible governance dictates that we review and evaluate the benefits to the city of continuing to collect a tax on medical marijuana against the costs of doing so, especially in light of potential legislative changes in early 2016. In discussing the cost, we need to assess how much revenue the city generates from imposing and collecting the tax, and how much the city could expect to spend in legal fees to defend an action challenging the tax. To assist the council, our city attorneys will summarize the history and circumstances surrounding ordinance number 2014-07 and comments on issues relating to the medical marijuana tax. In addition, John O'Day, General Counsel of the League of Oregon Cities, will be asked to provide further clarification and information regarding the city's home rule authority and authority to tax, in his opinion, concerning the medical marijuana tax and contemplated legislation in 2016. Ultimately, our goal tonight is to consider all elements with respect to the tax and then, based upon the city's best interest, make a sound decision on how to best to move forward. Jamie?
Thank you, Mayor. Under the city's home rule charter authority and current legislation or lack thereof, the city assessed a tax on medical marijuana sales pursuant to Ordinance 2014-07. However, as demonstrated by a November 13, 2015 Legislative Council opinion letter and the recent filing of a declaratory judgment by the Green Knots Dispensary, this authority is not immune from potential legal challenge. In 2016, the Oregon legislator may likely enact clear, unambiguous, preemptive language relating to medical marijuana taxation. But in the meantime, as the mayor correctly pointed out, the city must consider whether to continue to impose the tax pending clarity from the legislator. So a brief history of where we were and where we're at right now. On October 22, 2014, prior to the passage of Measure 91 and House Bill 3400, the city adopted Ordinance 2014-07. Ordinance number 2014-07 established a tax on the sale and transfer of marijuana and marijuana-infused products. Several cities throughout Oregon adopted similar taxes. Pursuant to Ordinance number 2014, and then later Resolution 2014-12, we adopted and imposed a 5% tax on medical marijuana and a 15% tax on recreational marijuana. In November of 2014, Oregon voters approved Measure 91. Measure 91 legalizes personal possession of certain amounts of recreational marijuana for persons aged 21 and older as of July of 2015. That legislation accomplished perhaps or implemented other issues or other matters related to recreational marijuana as well. On June 30th, 2015, Governor Kate Brown signed into law House Bill 3400. House Bill 3400 contained certain modifications to Oregon's marijuana-related laws and regulations. And of perhaps most importance to us tonight, House Bill 3400 contained language vesting the sole authority to tax or impose fees on recreational sales in the state of Oregon. Obviously, at least one dispensary argues that the preemptive language found in House Bill 3400 extends not just to recreational sales, but also to medical marijuana sales. Council and staff have discussed this and other 2015 marijuana-related legislation. Specifically, the council and staff have discussed prohibiting early sales, banning recreational facilities, and ultimately referring a potential tax of recreational sales to the voters in November of 16. And we have also discussed the marijuana taxation issues in light of House Bill 3400. The city has been collecting a medical marijuana tax from dispensaries operating within the city. As of today, the city has collected approximately $6,000 in medical marijuana tax. As I previously noted, the city's authority to tax medical marijuana is rooted in its home rule charter authority and the absence of express preemptive state law to the contrary. As the mayor noted, Sean O'Day from the League of Oregon Cities is here with us this evening. Sean, perhaps you'd be willing to come up and discuss with the council the impacts of the 2015 marijuana legislation, perhaps provide the council a general overview of the city's home rule charter authority, and then perhaps you could discuss your opinions and viewpoints concerning the legislative council opinion letter.
Sure, I'll be happy to. Mr. Green, Mayor, members of the council, I'm Sean O'Day. As previously announced, I'm the general counsel for the League of Oregon Cities. It's a pleasure to be here tonight at the request of your mayor and city attorney. Let me state at the very outset that the League, for those of you who are not familiar with the League and what we do, we were formed in 1925 by 25 home rule cities to protect and defend their home rule authority from intrusion against legislation. That was our core mission then. It still remains a large part of what we do today as a league in lobbying the state legislature to protect, preserve your home rule authority. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about home rule tonight, what that means and how that works. Our programs have expanded beyond that. We also have a very active legal advocacy program where we will participate in state court proceedings, particularly those that involve home rule. And one of the reasons why I'm here tonight is because the issue before this council tonight raises significant issues surrounding home rule. It's received a lot of attention across the state, and I'm happy to be here to address you and tell you a little bit about how home rule works, how the league views legally the preemption in House Bill 3400, specifically Section 34A, how that works, and talk through what the arguments are as to why that preemption does not reach medical marijuana. And then I'll talk a little bit about the Legislative Council opinion and also give you kind of what I see perhaps on the horizon as the legislature comes to town in Salem in 2016. So about home rule. One other kind of quick introductory remark. As a league, we are neither for nor against marijuana. We have not adopted a position surrounding whether or not communities should allow or not allow tax or not tax, because what we stand for is that local choice. Whatever that choice may be is what we stand to support. And given the politics around this particular issue, because allowing often is not very controversial, we find ourselves involved in helping and aiding cities who've chosen to either tax or not allow. And as such, we often get painted in the against camp or the just say no camp. And again, for the record, I want to clarify that as a home rule advocacy organization, we stand behind those cities that choose to allow it, just as we do those cities that choose not to allow it. So when it comes to the issue of marijuana policy itself, we're quite agnostic on that. So with that brief introduction, let me tell you a little bit about home rule and a significant case that came out of the Oregon Supreme Court this last summer that I think really bears on this issue in front of you. Oregon is a home rule state. It was one of the first home rule states in the nation, and it occurred back in 1906 when the voters in Oregon amended the Oregon Constitution to put in place what we call the Home Rule Amendment. And what that Home Rule Amendment allowed was for the voters of every community to come together and adopt a Home Rule Charter vesting Home Rule authority in their city council or whatever form of governing body. For example, Portland has a commission form of government. Whatever form of governing body that those voters wanted to have, they were going to vest Home Rule authority in that city governing body. In order to understand what that really means, we have to talk about what home rule isn't. And as cities, we derive our legal authority from the state. And because we derive that legal authority to act from the state, in other states where there is no home rule authority, it means that cities have to look to somewhere in legislation that gives them the authority to act. We call those states Dillon's Rule states, or we call those local units of local government that are subject to that rule Dillon's Rule entities. Because what those entities, and it's called Dillon's Rule because the judge that issued the opinion that put forth this legal theory was named Judge John Dillon. So for a Dillon's Rule entity, the way that it works is you have to point to somewhere in state law that says you get to do something. As I often put it in simple terms, it's a show me where it says I can state. You have to, as a city, if you're a Dillon's Rule city, you have to be able to show where the state law has authorized you to act. Home Rule stands in contrast to that. The way Home Rule works is that once a city, city voters adopt a Home Rule charter, then it vests in that council all authorities, all powers, all government powers available to that city government under the Oregon Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, and the laws of the state of Oregon. And what that means is that you enjoy a legal authority that is equal to that of the state, unless the legislature steps in and takes that authority away. Because we do derive our authority from the state, the legislature retains that authority to be able to preempt us. In simple terms, it's a show me where it says I can't situation. So for a home rule entity, and in Oregon today, all 242 cities have adopted home rule charters. It's conceivable that we could have a city in Oregon that would incorporate under the 1891 Incorporation Act, which requires the legislature to approve that charter, in which case they would be a Dillon's Rule city and would have to point to state law that allows them to do things. But for all of our cities today, because all have adopted a home rule charter, you enjoy that home rule authority. You get to legislate on any matter of local concern unless the legislature has stepped in and said that you can't. That's the basic rule. It's the basic rule in which the legislature operates when it's adopting statutes like 3400. The preemption and the way the courts have interpreted this standard is that it's a very strict application of the rule. Recognizing that home rule authority is a pretty big deal. The courts have said that we will only recognize a preemption in state law if it's unambiguous and if it's clear. And if the legislature leaves a gap open, well, then you can fill that gap using your home rule authority. In my introductory remarks, I had said that I was going to talk about a case that came out of the Oregon Supreme Court this year that bears on this issue, and it's really important, I think, for local governing bodies to understand. It involved the city of Phoenix, which had a franchise fee that it was imposing on a special district. For those who aren't familiar with franchise fees, what this is, it's an arrangement between a city allowing a utility to locate, put utilities into the right-of-way and do so under an agreement, and often cities will charge a fee, sometimes levied as a percent of gross revenues, in order for that utility to occupy that right-of-way. And there's a state law on the books that provides that cities can do this, that cities can enter into a franchise agreement and obtain a fee for use of the right-of-way from several enumerated entities. One of those entities was not the type of entity that the city of Phoenix was imposing a franchise fee on. And so this case raised an issue. Was that statute that said that cities may impose a franchise fee on a number of different entities preemptive? Did it limit the city's ability to impose that fee just on those four entities, thereby, by implication, mind you, preempt the city from imposing a fee on this other type of entity, which in the city of Phoenix case was a special district? Well, we at the League aided the city in preparing its briefs. We participated in the case as amicus. In fact, we actually had an opportunity to argue before the Supreme Court on this matter. And what we had argued was that, first of all, understanding that Oregon could conceivably have two types of cities, if you were a Dillon's Rule city, then by all means, you could only impose your franchise fee on those four different entities listed in the statute, because it's a show me where it says I can and I'm limited by only what's there. But for those entities like the city of Phoenix that was home rule, it's a show me where it says I can't, and nothing in the statute limited the city of Phoenix to just those four entities, thereby under its home rule authority being able to impose the fee on the fifth type of entity. And the court agreed with us. The court held that in Oregon, we do not have what we call preemption by negative implication. So again, what that means for all of you and local governments throughout the state is that if a state law says you can't do something here, you can do something here, but if there's gaps left in it, then you can fill that gap using your home rule authority in any way that you see fit. So keeping that in mind, let's turn to Section 34 of House Bill 3400 and talk about whether or not this preemption, because there's a clear preemption in 3400, whether it applies to medical marijuana. So the first thing to note is that Section 3400 states that it is expressly authorized by this section the authority to impose a tax or fee on the production, processing, or sale, and I'm going to come back to this word sale, of marijuana items in this state is vested solely in the Legislative Assembly. It goes on to state that except as expressly authorized by this section, a county, city, or other municipal corporation may not adopt or enact ordinances imposing a tax or fee on the production, processing, or sale of marijuana items in this state. It goes on to relieve that preemption by saying that a council could refer up to a 3% tax to the voters if it chose to do so. Section 34A is clearly preemptive. It vests authority in the legislature and it says that local governments can't. It clearly has that. Show me where it says I can't. Well, under Section 34A1B, it says we can't. The question, though, is what can't we do? Whether or not that preemption is limited to just recreational marijuana or whether it also includes medical marijuana. And I can tell you that local government attorneys throughout the state have examined this provision. I've had conversations at seminars, and what I'm about to tell you, I've shared it at our annual conference, I've shared it at the City Attorneys Conference, and in other speaking events throughout the state. And I'm not the only municipal attorney to look at this, although I'll tell you that my advice and what my opinion is isn't certainly binding on you. You are adequately, more than adequately, represented with Mr. Green, and you should follow his advice, because what I say is not intended to be legal advice for you. But as I look at this as an attorney and in talking with others, a couple of things stand out to me that suggest that this limitation, that a court would hold if challenged, that this limitation, this preemption, only applies to recreational. Specifically, this Section 34A is located in the part of House Bill 3400 that deals with recreational marijuana. 3400's overall architecture has two different sections to it, one dealing with medical, one dealing with recreational. And this preemption is just found in the recreational part. And the way that courts interpret statutes, they're going to look at the statute's text, its plain meaning, and also its context, which includes its placement in the statutes in relation to other laws. And from that, it is a rational inference that the legislature's preemption here only applies to recreational because it's in that part of the statute. Secondly, the statute uses words that we know refer to recreational marijuana, not necessarily the medical marijuana program. Remember when I said that it prohibited a tax on the sale of marijuana items? Well, if you were to do a careful examination of the statutes, you would see that when the legislature, and under Measure 91, when we're talking about the transfer of recreational marijuana, we use the word sale because a sale can occur. But in the medical program, originally, you couldn't make money off of that. You could only transfer medical marijuana. And under House Bill 3460, which enabled the medical dispensaries to come into existence within Oregon, it uses the word transfer from one cardholder to another cardholder. It doesn't talk about sales. So the fact that this statute used the word sale is another indication to a court, and could be a very reasonable conclusion by a court, that this preemption is only limited to recreational marijuana. And because courts are loath to find statutes to be preemptive, they will often read the preemption as narrowly as they possibly can. Now, does that mean that's how a court would rule? Not necessarily. And as I've said throughout the state, that if a community does choose to avail itself of these arguments, it should be prepared to defend its ability to do so in court. And there's a business decision that you have to make as to whether or not you want to incur the time and expense and the resources in defending that. But there are arguments, two of which I just made, that are available to you to defend yourself against such a lawsuit. One of my colleagues understood my statement to say that you could invite litigation if you were to adopt such a tax or collect such a tax, as meaning that perhaps cities were on shaky ground. He misinterpreted what I was trying to say. Just because you're accused of doing something wrong doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. And I think that there are indeed arguments that can be made. In addition, as you look at the scope of this preemption, it states that a city may not adopt or enact an ordinance that imposes a tax. You've already done so. You did so prior to the adoption of House Bill 3400. And the legislature knows how to preempt cities in the collection of a previously adopted tax. We had a case called City of Eugene v. Jiggles where that was at issue. The city was collecting on a tax that it had adopted, it believed, prior to a preemption going in place. In this case, it was a video lottery terminal tax. But the statute provided that a city could not impose, nor could it collect. So the legislature knows how to preempt local governments from imposing and collecting on a previously adopted tax. And Section 34A1B does not say collect. It only says you're preempted from imposing. And because you had adopted your tax prior to the adoption of House Bill 3400, you have an additional argument available to you to defend your ability to collect on that tax. Now again, it's certainly a business decision for you whether you want to avail yourself of that and defend the litigation using those arguments. But I can tell you, those are the arguments that have been put out there, and they've certainly been talked about throughout the state. I've noted them once again in various trainings and seminars that I've attended where I've been invited to speak. So in light of all of that, there is a legislative council opinion that's out there that has a very different sort of analysis available to it. It doesn't cite the City of Phoenix case, and I think it's important to note that Phoenix came out after 3400 was adopted. And prior to the City of Phoenix case going out, Legislative Council and myself had a lot of disagreement about whether or not Oregon would ultimately recognize preemption by negative implication. Very, very glad to see that the court rejected that and said that Oregon is not a preemption by implication state. And so I think with that, you know, the context and how 3400 gets looked at completely changes, and how this preemption completely changes. And the Legislative Council's opinion didn't engage in that sort of analysis. That being said, in light of what I've shared with you, and certainly this is a public setting, and there are lots of folks that have a lot of interest in this, a lot of folks have interest in this before the state legislature, it would not take much to clean up these pieces if the legislature had intended to preempt cities from imposing and collecting on a medical marijuana tax. With a few simple strokes of the pen, a few simple amendments, they could do so. And as I look into 2016, and because we've been talking about these issues, I fully expect that there will be a bill that will be intended to close these, because these various arguments that I've made before you today, because there are legislators who are genuinely interested in preempting cities from imposing a medical marijuana tax. Whether their attempt to preempt is successful, I'm not going to give you a prediction, because when it comes to the legislative process, it's very difficult to predict what the final outcome might be, but I can say with certainty that there will be an attempt to close these loopholes in some people's minds in Section 34A. So with that, I'm going to conclude my remarks by once again saying thank you for allowing me to come and present before you, to give me an opportunity to explain home rule, how that works for all of you as well as others in the audience today, and anybody else who might be watching this from a statewide perspective. I'm very proud to be able to work for the League of Oregon Cities, which advocates on behalf of all 242 cities in this state to help preserve and protect your home rule authority. I would certainly understand, however, that as with each city, why you might choose not to collect this tax and not to defend against the litigation, even though you have these legal arguments available to you, because you know in the end you've got to make a decision that makes the best use of the public resources that you have. And once again, whatever that decision may be, know that your league stands behind you, because that's what we stand for, is local choice.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you, Mayor.
Do you want to open it up for a public discussion?
Sure. What I'd like to do at this time, I'd like to ask Council Berger if he would like to address the council.
I certainly would. I came a long way. it's really a pleasure to be here. My name is Leland Berger. I'm a lawyer. I've been practicing for 32 years. The name of my law firm is Oregon Cannabis Compliance Council. I was a criminal lawyer, and I still handle criminal cases but having helped draft the Medical Marijuana Act and the Measure 91 and been involved legislatively and having worked statewide, I began to transition my practice towards representing cannabis businesses starting in 2010 when Measure 74 was on the ballot and it looked like it might pass and people came to ask me what could I do or what would be necessary to stay in compliance. I have tremendous respect for Mr. O'Day. I've heard him speak on this issue at conferences, and I have also heard him speak on this issue in court. But unfortunately, on this narrow issue, we really disagree. I learned from him the whole notion that what local control means is show me where it says I can't. And as he told you, Section 34A, except as expressly authorized by this section, and a tax on medical marijuana isn't, the authority to impose a tax or fee on the production, processing, or sale of marijuana items, not recreational marijuana, but marijuana items is defined in Section 1 of House Bill 3400 to include items that are transferred in medical marijuana dispensaries. Oh, I forgot to say, I represent Green Knots, which is one of two dispensaries here in Lapine. I was surprised to learn that you had two dispensaries, I guess for when patients really need medicine in between Bend and Klamath Falls or something, but it's a good thing, and it's a good thing because it's medicine. And when I say it's medicine, I don't mean, in my opinion, it's medicine. I mean it's medicine in science, law, and fact. In fact, in House Bill 3400, one change that was made was to Oregon Revised Statutes 475.400, which is the findings for the Medical Marijuana Act. And the findings used to be that marijuana is medicine and should be treated like any other medicine. And the legislature changed that statewide, not allowing counties to opt out, that marijuana shall be treated like other medicines. No other medicine is taxed. Although I'm aware of three other cities where there were taxes, two of them were repealed, and the third was a municipality that has one dispensary, and it was the agreement to be able to be licensed there and not have to go through some of the legal arguments that Mr. O'Day didn't quite get to relating to how can this happen when the federal law prohibits it. I think that, for example, when you say, well, it has to do with recreational because that's the context of it, where it is in the bill, and you know, under the templates that the Oregon Supreme Court uses in cases called PGE versus Boley and State versus Gaines, you don't get to the context of it if the plain language is clear. And if it is ambiguous, if it's not clear, then you get to the legislative intent. And I'll make a prediction. The legislature is not going to authorize a tax on the transfer of medical marijuana from medical marijuana dispensaries, assuming they continue. I'm not going to make a prediction on that. I don't know how familiar you are with the current debate about why can't there be co-location? Why can't there be just one store instead of adult use stores and medical stores? But assuming they don't resolve that problem, they're not going to allow taxation on transfers. The way that the Medical Marijuana Act is set up is that a person with a debilitating medical condition, and I want to digress slightly in light of the public comment at the beginning, in 2013, out of respect to veterans and others who have suffered from traumatic incidences in their lives that have caused them, including rape victims and victims of violent assaults who have post-traumatic stress disorder, for whom the therapeutic use of medical cannabis has been helpful. They added PTSD to the conditions that that are permitted. But a person who has a debilitating medical condition, who sees an Oregon licensed physician, one in three of Oregon licensed MDs and DOs have qualified patients, registers with the health authority, and that authorizes them to either cultivate for themselves or to designate somebody to cultivate for them. And the issue arose, well, what are we going to do with if you grow more than what you need? I mean, it's a crop, and you can't regulate exactly how much you're going to grow. And there was a concern that it was going to the underground market, and the legislature created a regulated system where, in addition to a patient being able to designate a grower and a caregiver, they created a fourth cardholder called a person responsible for a medical marijuana facility and authorized growers with the patient owns all the medicine that's cultivated, authorized growers with the consent and authorization of the patient to distribute the excess to a medical marijuana dispensary where the facility could be reimbursed by patients or their caregivers. Caregivers functionally are agents. So one thing that I agree with Mr. O'Day about is that there aren't sales in medical marijuana dispensaries. There's only transfers. I don't agree, however, that that creates a gap that a city could exploit by passing a tax on the transfer of medical marijuana, but that's not what you did. You instituted a sales tax as if it was a sale, treating it as if it is a sale, and you don't have the authority to do that. And I think also I would encourage you to find the City of Phoenix case. I think Mr. O'Day reads that, given the quality of advocate that he is broadly and in a way that helps his position. I think it reaffirms what is the bedrock case in this area, the City of La Grande Astoria versus the PERB. And I think it also makes clear that, as here, where it's expressly limited to a statewide thing, that the city isn't authorized to do that. But you know, I was contacted by Randy Hoff, who, along with his brother Don, who's present. Randy's homesick tonight. Own the Green Knots here in Lapine. And he had been paying the tax dutifully each month, even though he thought it was immoral because it's a tax on medicine, and even though he thought it was illegal because of what seems to me and everybody else I've talked to except to Sean O'Day and Jeremy Green to be pretty clearly expressly preemptive, and that it's just not a thing that you're allowed to do. But he continued to pay it, and when it became clear that I wasn't going to persuade Mr. Green, Mr. Green wasn't going to persuade me, we filed the lawsuit that's pending currently. One thing that's clear is that the relief that we're seeking, the declaration that the ordinance is illegal and void. The legal word is void ab initio, void from its inception, and an injunction enjoining you from continuing to collect the tax and requiring that you refund it would be mooted if the council this evening takes the action of repealing this ordinance and refunding the fees that it collected, so that Mr. Hoff, or the brothers Huff and the other dispensary here in Lapine can return that to the people who paid it, because the health authority, which regulates the medical marijuana dispensaries, requires that they keep careful records. They're able to do that. They know who paid the tax and they'd be able to pay it back. I know that you have later on your agenda a proposal about banning what I prefer to call adult use rather than recreational businesses here in Lapine. And I asked Mr. Green if I could be able to discuss that with the council. He assured me I could. I'm a little confused from your agenda whether that's something I should speak to now or wait until later, or...
Do
you have a preference, or...
I think let's go on with what we're doing here right now, and then
okay.
We can get to that.
We did have some conversation, Mr. Green, and you know, both times I was able to talk to him on the phone. I mean, I am a sole practitioner. I have lawyers I associate with for stuff I don't know about, but Mr. Green is in a law firm, so that when I call him up the first time, he's talking with his associate on municipal law, and when I call up the second time, he's got a partner on litigation. And we chatted some about the fact that not only is this a, you know, ask two lawyers get three opinions, you know, a difference of opinion that Mr. O'Day and Mr. Green have from the opinion that I have, but that I thought that it was so absurd that, having pointed it out to Mr. Green and explained to him why it was so absurd under the statutes, if a judge accepts that, then we would be entitled to attorney's fees. And I had a conversation with Mr. Green and with the litigation assumed partner in his office, an experienced civil litigator, 25 years, and you know, I haven't had a chance to, because the context it would come up in, if you were to repeal and reimburse or refund, would be that, you know, the city would file a motion to dismiss, and I could contest that on the basis of the attorney's fees. And I haven't had a chance to speak with my client about this, but I'm telling you, in all candor, that my intent would be to advise him for us to voluntarily dismiss the case if you take that action this evening. I do have some other thoughts about the adult use ban proposal and the referral to the people about that, but I will hold those okay. to later. And I also am very grateful for this opportunity, both to be here and to meet all of you and to have this opportunity to explain why Mr. Huff, you know, took these actions. I mean, it's one thing for me to run around the state and live in Portland and stand up for these kinds of issues, but it's a tremendously courageous act for a businessman who is trying his level best to do what's best for the city that he loves, to stand up and say, this is wrong, this is illegal, we're going to court. And I wanted to acknowledge that, both sides of that, to you, that he, and I think generally statewide, the cannabis business community is interested in being good partners with municipal governments and wanting to help out. And I'll explain that a little further later on this evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councilor.
Thank you, sir.
At this time, we have some others who have asked to speak, and we'll invite Mr. Costello.
I'm Glenn Costello, 16179 Hawkslayer Road. talking about the tax on medical marijuana, I'd like to express my feelings about the moral issue on taxing medical marijuana. My brother, as I brought up before, was diagnosed with HIV 28 years ago, and he puts out of pocket anywhere between $1,600 and $1,800 a month for prescription meds. He needs medical marijuana. It's not going to cure him. What it does is this cocktail that they give him. It affects him so much that he can't hold anything down. He can't get any nutrition, any food down, anything. You know, everything comes up. And the only thing that helps him eat and helps him to get the nutrition that he needs in his body is marijuana. It enables him to eat properly and everything else to keep himself healthy. He's actually had 9 brothers and 2 sisters. He looks and acts the healthiest out of all of us. I also lost my nephew, 27 years old, and he went through brain cancer, and he died a couple years ago. The only thing, again, he was taking medication and everything else. The only thing that would help his seizures that he would get, and also to keep food down, keep nutrients in his body, was medical marijuana. So you think about people like this, and people that we were talking about, vets and everything, who you hear about it on the news all the time about, you know, their funds being cut, their benefits being cut, and everything else, and they just, people can't afford just another expense. You know, my brother, I think about him all the time when I hear about a tax on his medical marijuana. And it's just, it's crazy with the money that he puts out and everything else every month, and then on top of that having to put out another expense on top of buying the marijuana himself. I don't know. I think that's something you need to look at as well. It's not just about how much money the city can raise and all that kind of stuff. It's helping the people out that really need it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. And Matt?
Hi, Council. Hi, Mayor.
How you doing?
Matt Topher, owner of High Desert Botanicals. I just wanted to just kind of point out that the medical tax on the dispensaries has greatly impacted business. We decided not to put the tax on our customers, or on our patients, I should say, because they were outraged when we told them that 5% of their purchase was going to go to a city tax. We were starting to lose confidence in patients coming to our dispensary, so we decided not to go ahead and put that tax on them. Going back to the last meet, when you guys talked about the 5% and talked about the early ban on recreational sales, I thought there would have been more of a deliberation, more of a meeting, more of a questions and answers being answered and questions being answered. It didn't seem like you guys wanted to deliberate at all and already had your minds made up. And so I just wanted to point out that you guys should really come to the meetings with a clear head and a clear conscience so you can hear the public and what we have to say. You know, the recreational ban, I don't want to go off subject of the medical tax, but the recreational ban is hurting the town of Lapine. It's stirring, or it's directing the money up to Bend or to the next big city. I think you guys should reconsider the early sales ban, because it's a chance for us to show you guys that we can take care of this. We got a year, 2016. We got 1 year to do this. I don't think it needs to be on the next vote. I think Measure 91 was pretty clear. Deschutes County voted for it. Our dispensary is really it's great for the community. It provides a safe access. People don't have to call their buddies up and try to get something that's not tested. It's not packaged right. We are only, you know, our medical dispensary can only, I hate to use the word sell, but that's pretty much what it is. It's a transfer, but less than 2% of the population, when you look at how many cardholders are out there versus the general population. Our sales are very limited. Right now, the city of Bend, the dispensaries in Bend are doing at least 5 times as much as sales than the medical end of it, or transfer, I should say. 2%, you know, of the general population here soon, I mean, there's a good chance we can shut our doors, or we'd have to shut our doors, just because there's not enough people that come into our store. We turn away, You know, on a normal week, we turn away 3 to 5 people a day. You know, and they're not the same people every day that are coming in. These are new people. These are people that are driving through town, wanting to stop and get medicine, or recreational adult use marijuana. And we have to turn them away. We have to send them to the town of Bend. And I think that you guys should think about how it could impact us economically with jobs and with revenue and tourism and just take that into consideration. Yeah, it's definitely going to have a great impact to keep this ban in place. The medical tax, I hope you guys rethink taking that back, or, you know, it's not morally right to tax medicine. We are just getting, you know, reimbursed back from these growers, from these patients. And like I said, I haven't put that on our patients. We don't want to lose business. So I'm paying out of my pocket. So I hope you guys reconsider taxing medicine in our town of Lapine and rethink the early sales, the rec sales, lifting that ban as well, because it'll greatly help our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeremy?
So, decision-making time. As Sean has noted, as I noted in my opening remarks, we believe that the taxing ordinance is in fact lawful under your Home Rule Charter authority, as well as the fact that there is no express preemption providing otherwise. However, the tax revenue to date is approximately $6,000. As my litigation law partner out here in the audience will attest to, the cost to litigate will far exceed the tax revenue. I would surmise that the potential cost to litigate are going to be in the tens of thousands of dollars. Would you concur with that?
Yes.
Therefore, I believe it comes down to what is a sound business, a prudent and sound business decision. With that being said, the way I see it is you have three options. Option number one is status quo, meaning don't take any action on repealing the ordinance this evening or placing it in abeyance, and take on the legal challenge that has been filed. Option number two is to before I go to option two, I want to again remind you that even if you are successful in connection with that litigation, it is very likely that any success that the city may be short-lived, as I am of the opinion, as well as Sean and other municipal law attorneys, that the legislator is likely going to close this gap. Option number two is abeyance. Suspend the collection of the tax, suspend the enforcement of the taxing ordinance, return the funds or the tax collected to date to the dispensaries with the directive that the dispensaries immediately return, or within a reasonable period of time, I should say, returning tax collected to the taxpayers. Option number three is that we go ahead and repeal the tax. In so doing, we would return then the tax collected to date, again with the directive to the dispensaries that they return the tax collected to date. That they return the tax that they receive from us back to the taxpayers. And we move on.
Okay.
Any questions for me before you all deliberate that those three options at this point?
No, not on my part.
Okay.
Okay. Stu?
Can you go over two or three?
So two is an abeyance. The abeyance is just basically saying that our enforcement efforts and collection under the ordinance will be placed in abeyance, meaning we're going to remain in holding pattern pending perhaps legislation in 2016 to provide us more clear direction. It, assuming that happens, and there's no guarantees, by the way, that that will happen. And then option number three is the outright repeal, which does away with the tax in its entirety. It sounds like opposing counsel is saying that if you do that, he is representing to us that he will consider this issue moot. And it sounds like, although he presumably needs to receive permission from his client, it sounds like he has no desire to pursue a collection of fees and costs. But I do not want to speak for opposing counsel, but that's what I heard.
Okay. All right. Counsel, before we start, I'd just like to say again that ultimately our goal tonight is to consider all the elements that we've heard and we know about with respect to tax, and then based upon the city's best interest, make a sound decision on how we want to move forward tonight. I will say that, you know, we started this process back in 2014, and we had a certain set of guidelines, state rules and everything, that we actually moved forward on. And we put in place basically what we have here this evening. And then the 30th day of June of this year, the legislature come forward with another rule, set of rules, House Bill 3400, and it really changed the whole concept of how to deal with this. So we as a council, I believe, moved forward on certain ideas about what we could do and couldn't do and should do or shouldn't do. And I think I have to say that I'm proud of the council for making those kinds of decisions that we operated under at that time. And I think this is the time this evening that we get to look at the new rules that are out there and make some, you know, some ideas and make some decisions around what the rules are now and again, what is in the best interest of the city based upon what we've heard so far. So I will, with that discussion,
are we going to vote?
Well, we'll get to a motion list, okay. You know, when we get through the discussion.
No, I...
Any comments?
No, except I enjoy all the comments and of everybody here. This is a great meeting. You get a lot of input. I just enjoy the respectability of everyone. Thank you.
Okay. Kathy?
No, same. It's good to hear the various point of views and to be able to decide what way is best for the city.
Okay. Karen?
That's the way I feel. We need to do what's best for the city. We need not to spend taxpayers' money on something that down the road is going to take another turn, possibly. That's where I'm at with it.
Okay. Stu?
Three options. One option is to wait on our legislature over in Salem. I think that's probably that's the worst decision we've made. They failed us so many times. We've taken their direction. So I'm definitely not in favor of that option. I think our best course is to repeal it at this time. From what I understand is the dispensaries have accurate records, and I hope they are very accurate records, because I would like to have money reimbursed to those people. This is just my opinion, if that's the way the council decides to go, because, you know, what we got here, 6,000 is roughly what the tax that is collected versus 10 to 20,000 to defend the ordinance. I think, and as a business person myself, there's only one way to do it.
Okay. Then I will ask, is there a motion to repeal the medical marijuana ordinance 2014-07?
I make a motion to repeal.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to repeal the medical marijuana tax ordinance number 2014-07. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimously approved by the council to repeal ordinance number 2014-07.
So Ken, if I may, yes. Not knowing ultimately what direction you would go, I came down this evening with a variety of different resolutions to further memorialize this decision.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and hand out the resolution that deals with the repealing component, and unfortunately I don't have copies for everybody.
Okay.
But what I would encourage you all to do is go ahead and approve this resolution. In summary, I'll share with you if that's all right, Stu. In summary, this resolution memorializes the council's decision to repeal the ordinance. It incorporates the findings of the council this evening as well as those contained in the resolution. It directs staff to bring back to you in January an actual legally effective ordinance to repeal an ordinance, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
And then it directs the, in the interim, the return of the funds, the obligation of the dispensaries to return those funds to the taxpayers, and hopefully ultimately renders the litigation moot and we move on.
Okay.
So my advice then, based upon the decisions that were made a few seconds ago, would be that we get a resolution number from Patty, to put the resolution number in, and have you all approve this so that I can give this to my litigation partner and you can go ahead and try to resolve this for us.
Okay.
The resolution number is 2015-07.
So okay.
Perhaps a motion to approve the resolution would be great.
All right. Is there any discussion along this after the summary? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2015-07, a resolution of the City of Lapine relating to certain taxes on the sale of marijuana, marijuana-infused products imposed under City of Lapine Ordinance number 2014-07.
Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Yeah.
Matt, I want to commend you for not imposing that tax on your customer as a business person. That's awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Is there a motion to adopt?
I so moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 It's and opposed? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved. Thank you very much. Yes. At this time, we will take a short 5-minute break.